Hey there, and welcome to Real Talk with Sam podcast. We're doing real topics, talking about real stories, and having real talk from a millennial minister's point of view and guests from all over the world. So first of all, from now on, I'm just going to say that whenever I get to this is when we're going to do it. I am making it a policy now that I am not going to make any more promises as to when I'm going to do something, how I'm going to do something, because God always seems to flip the script on me. I think there's a lesson to be learned in that, as a matter of fact. Yes, I think there's a lesson to be learned in that. So, but it's so good to be back, guys. It is so great to be back. I am coming to you with another Confessions and Lessons segment. This one won't be live as I had planned because your girl is running. Running, to say the least. And I'm just going to, this is going to be a real, raw, unplanned, uncoordinated session that we're gonna have, hence the reason why it's called Confessions, because I sometimes, like the way you guys need to rant sometimes, the way we all need to rant sometimes about what's going on in our lives, is it's needed. It's good for you, it's good for the soul, it's good for the mind to have some type of clarity and to not have everything built up in your head. And to be honest, your girl's been going through it. The host A Real Talk with Sam podcast has been going through it, hence why it's been a minute, and going through a lot of changes still. Like, I really think that from the latter part or the second part of 2023 to 2024 thus far has been just plain old changes and adjustments and just different experiences. And I give God all the glory for those experiences. I give God the glory for the changes. And because all of these are lessons that when I reflect on, I can say, oh, this happened because I needed to learn this. And this happened because I need to have more patience here. This happened because I wasn't reading the word. And this happened because I didn't call the person. It's a lot of different things that I have yet to fully digest just from the last 10 months. And the times when I can sit down and have a break to think and reflect about these things is so, it's so priceless, because when I am able to detect, or when I'm able to think about what the lesson is from that experience and be able to apply it, that becomes the wisdom right there. I can apply wisdom the next time I encounter that thing. So let me get to the confessions part. There has been something that has been weighing heavy on my heart and on my spirit for a while now. For those of you who don't know, I have always thought of myself as an educator to a certain extent. But God has opened a door for me to actually be an educator within the school system. And for those of you who are educators in the school system, no matter what state you're in, no matter what country or province, whatever you may be, because we have viewers in listeners from around the world, praise God for that. So teaching is not going to look the same in every state. It's not going to look the same in every city. It's not going to look the same in every country. So, but those of you who have dealt with children, those of you who have daily or just consistent interaction with kids, period, it's a whole different ball game. Because prior to becoming in the school system, I only taught in a biblical context. I've only taught like ministry, Bible classes and things like that. That's what I've always was used to teaching, so to speak. There was very few occasions where I taught school subjects like social studies, mathematics, although I'm gonna be honest with y'all, I am not good at math, so that's one area that I really hope and pray to God that he does not allow me to go into, is teaching mathematics, because I'm not about to confuse these children, okay? Just being honest, I have been in a position where I've had to in my role as a substitute teacher, but it hasn't been anything crazy, you know what I mean? It's been math that I can teach. But when we start tickling up to algebra and geometry and, you know, trigonometry, I don't know if that's my ministry. But anyway, But, you know, there's always room to grow and there's always room to learn. Who knows? Even if God allows me to do that for a consistent time period, I might be a better teacher than I thought I was. I don't know. I have no clue. But anyway, back to what I was talking about. When you are an educator that deals with children, it shows you a lot of things. It exposes a lot of things about yourself, and it shows you what these children are going through in this generation. I used to think, I was always under the impression when I was coming up that our generation, to an extent, had it harder with the growth of technology and everything, and what that would mean for social interactions, and that we had it bad in that aspect, but we also had it pretty good in the area of segregation and the opportunities that were not. And I'm only speaking at this particular point, I'm only speaking to those who are black and brown and people of color. The opportunities that we have now are in far more abundance than what our parents, grandparents had. They didn't have that. They didn't have access to a quarter of the things that we have now. And we give God the glory for the fight that they fought for us so we could have a decent future. And that, with how things are going in society right now, is going to have to be a topic for another day, because that's a whole other conversation. But the point is, we are very blessed to have the opportunities that we have. But my generation, maybe I'm biased, but my generation, the last year of the millennials, we're the last generation left with a lot of common sense. And I'm just gonna be honest, because common sense is not so common anymore, and I'm seeing it a lot within the generations that I'm having daily interactions with and that I'm teaching. There are some within the generations that have common sense, and I'm grateful for that. But there are some that don't, because they have never, because their parents don't even have that much common sense, or their parents may have difficulty raising them, or they have difficulty just period. So it's not as common anymore. And on top of that, like I was saying just a few minutes ago, my generation had to deal with the growth of technology and the social interactions, how that's changed, how we talk to people, how we relate to people. But it's even more so with this generation. It is full on, like the amount of virtual communications that they have is like 90%, from my perspective. Now, this is not an exact figure, I'm just guesstimating, but or eyeballing it. They have like 90% of their interactions are social media. Very few of their conversations and interactions are in person. Even down to the people that they are growing friendships with, the very same people that they have interact with in school, they'll text them first before they talk to them if they can't get to them. And the way that they are learning, 90%, well, maybe not 90%, I'm going to say about 65% of it has to, there's technology in the classroom that we did not have as kids. Just the whole structure of it all is insane to me. And I see, but the problem is, I think that there are pros to having tech in the classroom, but there are more cons than pros. Yes, it's convenient. Yes, it makes things slightly easier for teachers to develop and follow through with their curriculums and their lesson plans and things of that sort, and just to keep everything organized and doable, because teachers, we have a lot on our plates already, And because of things that are rapidly changing, our piles, our workloads are even more. So the less paperwork that we have to deal with, the better off we are. But the way that the kids are learning is just far more different than how we learned. And I think that, again, there are more cons to it than pros. And speaking as an educator, I might not be a full-time teacher, but being that I am teaching or just, you know, around kids every day, I see what's going on and I am very worried. And as children of Christ, we're not supposed to worry. And when you know enough about God and you know enough about His Word, you have no reason to worry. But when you are exposed to certain things that have to do with the generations coming behind you, it's time to pray. And that's one thing that I am going to confess today to you that I have fallen off on. I think that with what God has allowed me to have in this current season of my life, I still haven't fully adjusted to it in the sense of having balance, making sure that I'm keeping God first in everything. Yes, I do still pray. Yes, I do still read my word, but it's not nearly as consistent as what it once was. And I can confess that to y'all because I know that I'm not the only one, and I don't want you to feel bad about if you find yourself in that same position. But I want to encourage you, and while I'm encouraging you, I'm going to go ahead and encourage myself too. Get back on your post. Get back in position. Because if there's ever a time that we need to pray, it's now. And now I see from a different perspective, from being in a different position than I was in earlier last year, now I see that we need to pray about, there's certain pieces of society that we need to pray over and pray about and bring Christ into certain arenas. Because when they took Christ out of schools, when they took prayer out of schools, I'm going to just say it, when they took prayer out of school, they opened us up for Satan to rush in, steal, kill, and destroy on a whole different level. On a whole different level than you could possibly imagine. When you really start thinking and pulling apart the pieces that have changed so drastically, you are like, listen, educators know, if you know, you know. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But for those of you who are not educators, we have a lot of things that we see on a daily basis that you would not believe. And I am not exaggerating. I'm not going to use the word worried anymore because I just got finished. I just got finished saying it. But we have a lot to be concerned with. And it's not just how the kids are learning in schools. That's not the only piece of it. The other piece is family and home lives and how that factors into their education. There are a lot of kids that I know, I'm not going to say their names, I'm not going to reveal their identities either, but there are so many kids, there's so many students that I have, that I interact with, and that I deeply care for and love, that go through so much at home that their only relief is when they come through that school. Whether we have a test, whether we have a quiz, they would rather be at school than in their own homes. And I know what that feels like. Not for the same reason that they're going through, but I understand when you have to deal with a certain struggle and you have to deal with certain issues that you don't want to have to deal with when you walk in that house. I get it. I understand what they're saying and I understand what they're feeling in that sense. So I'm glad when I see their faces in the school. But the fact that they don't want to leave when we have to go. I remember feeling like that. And I feel for them. And if it was up to me, like if I had a different level of if I had a different level of authority, I'd let them hang out. But I don't have that because I'm not in position to do that. And but the point is, I get it. And I need y'all. I need my prayer warriors, my intercessors, who have some type of knowledge of what's going on in the education system, and those who are Christian educators. I need y'all on your post too. I know that you are, but if you've fallen off, I want to encourage you to get back on, because this is crucial. And this has been weighing heavy on me. And I know that prayer changes things. I know that prayer will pull down some strongholds. I know that through prayer, through true, authentic prayer, that God is going to move. But knowing all of this and saying all of this out loud, I realize the severity and the significance of why God put me where He put me. And this alone, just having this talk with you guys, with you all, encourages me to get back on my post and get back on my job. And because, like I said, I see all of these things coalescing and all these factors factoring in, and I'm looking at the numbers, and it's not looking good. It's not looking good as of right now. Oh no, it's not looking good. We got much prayer to do. We have a lot to do, and talking about it is the first step. Educating about this for those who don't know is the first step, but doing something about it is a whole different step that we have to take as well. And another piece of this, it's not just the way that the kids are learning. That's just one factor. The second factor, like I said, is what they go through at home that makes them not want to go home. And the third factor is what they are, the identities that they are exposed to at such an impressionable age. And I know that everybody's not going to agree with me on this topic, but I think that with the restrictions that the people that make laws and legislation, I think that they are doing a disservice to those who are faith leaders. Because while they're putting restrictions on us, they're giving liberties to those in certain communities. And there are kids who are genuinely confused about where they are in life. And when you put a restriction on those faith leaders, you are restricting them having any type of discipline and being able to steward over their spiritual health, which is also a problem. Because when you navigate through a public school system, and I'm speaking about public schools, I can't speak on private schools because I only went to private school when I was in pre-K kindergarten. So that was many moons ago. But I can speak on public schools because I went through up and through school in public school, and I am educating in a public school right now. So I know the difference. And it's already a lot to deal with. And when you don't even give kids an opportunity to explore what they believe in, or even allow them to speak on it in certain school districts or in certain states, I think that that's even worse. Now, I might be biased because I consider myself a faith leader, but I also have education under my belt, and I know that there are different aspects of one's health and well-being. The fact that faith leaders can't even speak about Christ, those who are Christian leaders, the fact that faith leaders are under the gun like they are, unless they are in a charter school or a private school, it is gross. I can't even think of another word to say it. It's just gross. But yet they allow other entities, they allow other communities to freely have free liberty. And I am not one to hinge on somebody's liberty to think and speak and feel how they feel. Even the Lord gives us the right to choose. He gives us the liberty to say that we will accept him or we reject him. But the fact that I can't even speak on certain topics without it being related to the subject matter is crazy to me. And these kids are struggling. These kids are struggling with their identities. These kids are struggling with understanding who they are because their parents don't even understand who they are. So how can they teach them? How can they even teach them who they are when they don't even know who they are? So the fact that we are restricted to that extent is crazy to me. And I'm not saying crazy like cuckoo, but yeah, actually, no, I am. I'm saying that cuckoo, and I'm saying it's insane. And they are doing these kids a disservice with what they're implementing. And a lot of these people that are creating these lovely laws and legislations and paperwork, I can tell they've never been educators. Can tell that some of them have never set foot in the classroom, ever. And I think that those who make these lovely laws and legislations, before they put the pen to the paper, they need to step in this classroom. They really do. If they have any compassion or care about kids, which most of them don't, we're in very big trouble. And so once again, I need to emphasize that we have a lot of work to do. Those that are in the Christian community need to start praying, because I have never seen anything like this in my life. My family, though, the majority of my family are teachers. And their parents and grandparents thought that we were bad. Whole different level. Whole different level with this generation. And the decline is so great. It's not even just the kids that were pulled out of school because of COVID. It's just in general. Like, just... I have stories for days just of what I've seen in the last 10 months, and I can't say it today because it'll take up at least 3 hours. But yeah, this is my confession in a nutshell. I know that with what, like I said, with what God has given me, I have not been doing my job as I should be. God has entrusted me with this assignment, and I have not been stewarding over it the way I'm supposed to be. That is my confession. My lesson in that confession is basically, and I am encouraging those who are leaders in the Christian faith to get back on if you've fallen off. Life has a way of throwing things at you, and let me just be the one to validate you on that. Because I'm going through things myself that I'm believing God to deliver me out of, and I know that he will. But I need you to know that he is going to see you through this too. But right now, he wants to remind you that nothing that's thrown at you is greater than him. Nothing that's thrown in your direction is greater than the power that he gives you, and greater than the power that he has, because he has all power. He gives us authority as well, but he has all power. All power over the enemy. All power over sickness. All power over disease. All power over infirmities. All power of any kind of lack. He has it. And he's giving you authority over those things. You will not be here much longer. But right now, he wants to remind you that he still gave you a job to do. And he's reminding me of that too. He's giving you a job to do, and we got to get back on our job. Because the kingdom of darkness, they stepping their game up. I don't know if y'all been watching what's going on, but the kingdom of darkness is so blatant. It is ridiculous. So we got work to do. And for those of you who've fallen off, sir, ma'am, get back on. We need you. We need all of you. We need you to exercise your gifts. We need you to pray. We need it all. We need the kingdom of Christ at its full strength. Because I'm going to just say it, we're not at our full strength. Like I said, I know life's been lifing. Because I know life's been lifing on my end. So I know for a fact that I'm not the only one. My brothers and sisters in Christ that I know personally, we going through it. But we got to pull together, and we've got to. For the sake of our future generations coming behind us, we have got to. Regardless of how they got here, we still need to make sure that they are well equipped for what's coming. Because what's coming is no joke. And I'm already seeing the decline of what, of just a piece of society going down the tubes. I'm just being honest. It's not a joke. We need to get on the ball here. And all of this encourages me to do the exact same thing. So I'm going to do better. That's my lesson is, in my confession, is I'm going to do better. The question is, are you going to take my confession, me laying my full-on truth on the table? I'm just praying that it will inspire you and encourage you, if you have fallen off yourself, to get back on. We need y'all out here. So with that being said, that's my confession and lesson for this episode of Real Talk with Sam Podcast. Love you all so much. Thank you for rocking with us. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for the comments in advance. Thank you for everything. I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic, especially my educators. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. And we gonna make it, y'all. We gonna make it. We're going to make it. By God's grace, we've made it this far, and we're going to keep going in Jesus' name. And we pray, amen. So I'm going to sign off now. Again, love you all. And see you all next time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Talk with Sam Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed it, and I definitely hope you got something out of it. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Official RTWS Podcast, and shop for our original merchandise by clicking the shop button or visiting the link in the bio. See you next time.